If you'll take your Bibles and turn to 2 Kings chapter number 21. And you might want to go ahead and turn to 2 Chronicles 33. 2 Kings 21. 2 Chronicles 33. Just stick you something in there. Stick that prayer list in there. Probably be a good thing to do. And we'll be referring to verses in both of these places. We're getting down to our last five kings of Judah. And after Hezekiah's death, his son Manasseh began to reign in his stead at age of 12. And that's who we're going to be taking a look at tonight, Manasseh. We're going to see Manasseh had the longest reign of the kings of Judah. That's 55 years. But we're also going to see that he had the most wicked reign of the kings of Judah. And so there's a little more told about his reign in the account in 2 Chronicles than in the 2 Kings account, but we're going to be looking at some places in both, so keep them both handy. And I will be having you to turn to some other places too. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you so much for those that have come out tonight for the Bible study. Just ask, Lord, that you would teach us from your word. Lord, we know that these things aren't written just for us to have an idea of the history of what went on, but Lord, you said that they were written for our admonition. And Lord, help us to understand the things that you would have us to grasp out of these, and Lord, to direct our lives accordingly. Just be with each heart that's here tonight. Help us to hear with our ears and hear with our heart. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the first thing I want us to see is we see Manasseh's mother's name is mentioned in the 2 Kings account. Look at 2 Kings 21, verse number 1. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name is Hephzibah. Now, this is significant, I believe, because he was only 12 years old when he began to reign. And so his mother likely wielded a very strong influence on his life, but it was a negative influence, obviously, for him to go the way that he went. And so we see that he was does not appear to have had a good upbringing, even though his dad Hezekiah was the one who had the most godly reign. Now we see, I've got a book in my library by Dr. Herbert Lockyer called All the Men of the Bible. He called Manasseh the prodigal king. The prodigal king. And he called him that because Manasseh initially cast off all the godly ways of his father Hezekiah. We're going to see that tonight. Next week we're going to see, after the Lord chastened him, he came back and tried to restore things back the way that his dad had them. He didn't succeed in doing that entirely, but it was better than what he started off with and better than what we will see tonight. After the Lord allowed him to be locked up in Babylon for 12 years, I guess that'll change you a little bit. He was locked up for 12 years there. He finally repented and was restored of the Lord and returned to most of his father's godly ways throughout the rest of his reign. But tonight we see Manasseh's evil ways. And that's the second thing I want us to take a look at tonight. Manasseh's evil ways. As we look at Manasseh's idolatrous ways, we see that he really had a problem with the first two of the Ten Commandments. He didn't follow the Lord. And he loved images. He loved idols. In fact, Manasseh, we're going to see, took his idolatry to a whole new level. Now, idolatry is not something that's new with what we've seen in the kings of the past. But we're going to see a level of it that we've not seen before. As I said, he's more wicked than any of the kings before him. We see Manasseh started Baal worship again. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter number 33 and verse number 2 and 3. He said, "But he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel." And just think about that. This goes all the way back, looking at the time when they were going to be going into the land, and the Lord said, "Hey, don't follow their gods. You make sure that you cast them out. Cast them out. Get rid of their gods." Of course, we're going to see here in our Sunday night studies before too long that that's one of the things that really where Israel messed up at. They messed up in that they didn't do that. They didn't do a complete wipeout of the enemy that was in the land, of the Canaanites. And so the abominations of the heathen began showing up in their worship. And we see there, he talked about, he did like unto the abominations of the heathen. And then verse number 3, look at verse 3, "For he built again the high places." Now they just got rid of the high places. Hezekiah just tore down the high places in the last one that we looked at, which he says which Hezekiah's father had broken down, and he reared up altars for Balaam and made groves and worshipped all the hosts of heaven and served them. Well, we're familiar with Baal worship at this point in our studies. Baal, of course, was the storm god or the bringer of rain. He was recognized as sustaining the fertility of everything. Fertility of crops, fertility of their animals, and their fertility. And Baal's followers believed that performing immoral acts in their worship would contribute to Baal's work in increasing fertility of crops, animals, and people. And so that's what made it so attractive, is that it had a strong immoral influence associated with the worship. It was driven by fleshly desires and lust of people. Now we know that Baal was a part of the religion of virtually every culture of the ancient Near East. In fact, this coming Sunday night, we're studying Psalm 106 in our Sunday night study. We've been in there 3 weeks. In our fourth week, we're going to see the Moabites, their influence. There's a Baal Peor, and of course, Israel was drawn to Baal Peor. And that's one of the ways where they messed up. We see here Manasseh is messing up with Baal here. And we know that Baal, of course, had been a favorite of the northern kingdom of Israel. That's where he was really popular, was with the northern kingdom. Because Ahab married the heathen Jezebel. And Jezebel's dad was a priest of Baal. And so they got really into Baal worship. And Baal was even brought into Judah initially by Ahab and Jezebel's daughter, Athaliah. If you remember, we saw that, who married Jehoram, king of Judah. Athaliah even reigned over Judah after the death of her husband and her son Ahaziah. And when she was reigning, she established the Baal worship even more. And so that's how it filtered down into Judah. When Jehoiada the priest had Athaliah killed, he immediately had the people wipe out Baal worship. You know, they tore everything that had to do with Baal out and cast it off. And that was a good thing. But Baal worship was then restored by Ahaz, which was Hezekiah's father. It would have been Manasseh's grandfather. So Manasseh's grandfather brought Baal worship back. Hezekiah got rid of it again. But now we see Manasseh bringing it back. So they have a real difficult time staying away from Baal worship. In addition here, it mentions that he built the high places of worship that his father Hezekiah tore down. And there for a while we saw where the kings of Judah, they were doing right in the sight of the Lord, except in that one area they refused to tear down the high places. And the people of Judah were drawn to the high places. And that's, they liked doing their worship there. Well, where did God want them to worship? At the temple. Okay? And so it was drawing away from the temple. It was causing them to disobey the Lord in that area because they thought, well, this is okay. I'm just worshiping in the high places. But it wasn't okay. Another thing that Manasseh did, it talks about there, he made groves. Now, what are the groves? Well, the groves were where gods were carved into either trees or wooden poles that folks would worship. What we're going to see is that this is only the beginning of Manasseh's idolatry. It mentions there that Manasseh worshipped all the host of heaven. This was also a common heathen practice. Some of the heathen worshiped the sun. In fact, Egypt had five sun gods. Five. Some of the heathen worshiped the moon. Some of them worshiped the stars. And when we think of stars, when the Bible calls stars, it's talking about the heavenly bodies, and that includes the planets, whatever you see that's not the sun, moon. All the others are included in stars there. And with whatever the stars, and sometimes it was constellations that were made up of the stars, and some worshiped even the sky itself. And so I want you to hang on. We're not done, but let's take a look at Deuteronomy chapter number 4 for just a minute. I want you to see what God had to say about all of this. Deuteronomy 4, and we're going to pick up in verse number 14. Deuteronomy 4 and verse number 14. It says here, "And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments that you might do them in the land whether ye go over to possess it." So these things that he's teaching here, that's what they were supposed to be abiding by. And he says in verse 15, "Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for ye saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire." In other words, you didn't see what God looked like. How are you going to make an image unto God, unto the Lord, who you couldn't even look upon? They couldn't. In fact, they didn't want to look upon him. They were scared to death. They would say, "Oh, Moses, you talk to him. We don't want to talk to him." They were afraid. And he said, "You know, you saw no similitude." And it says there, verse 16, he says, "Lest ye corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure." It's not about, well, this is what I think God would look like. No. Yeah. There's a lot of folks, they're okay with having pictures of Jesus. You know, we don't know what Jesus looked like either. Huh? We don't. And he said, "Lest you corrupt yourselves, make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth." Think about what there and when they were at Horeb, what did they do? Well, Aaron made a calf, didn't he? And he's mentioning this to just remind them, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flieth in the air, the likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth. "And lest thou," here it is, "and lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the host of heaven, shouldest be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God hath divided unto all nations under the whole heaven. But the Lord hath taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be unto him a people of inheritance, as ye are this day. So he's warning them here, way back in Moses' day, hey, when you get in the land, make sure you don't worship anyone but the Lord. Manasseh worshipped all the host of heaven. But hang on, we're not done yet. Manasseh defiled the temple again with worship of his false gods. Look there in our text, 2 Kings 21 and verse number 4 and 5. And then we're going to skip down to verse number 7. Look at verse 4. It says, and he built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord said, in Jerusalem will I put my name. And he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. I don't have any idea how many that is. You know, didn't tell us. But understanding the number of gods that people came up with of the host of heaven, it was probably filled up. Look down to verse 7. And he set a graven image of the grove. Remember the God carved into a piece of wood? He set a graven image of the grove that he had made in the house, of which the Lord said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever. Neither will I make the feet of Israel move any more out of the land which I gave their fathers, only if they will observe to do according to all that I have commanded them, and according to all the law that my servant Moses commanded them. Are they doing that? Not even a little bit. Not even a little bit. Verse 9, but they hearkened not. And Manasseh seduced them to do more evil than did the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the children of Israel. I want you to think about the impact of that statement. The people that God drove out of the land, helped them drive out of the land, that they drove out of the land, this fellow, Manasseh, is doing worse than any of those. Let me quote you a verse here out of Jeremiah 7, verse 30. Jeremiah 7, verse 30 says, for the children of Judah have done evil in my sight, saith the Lord. They have set their abominations in the house which is called by my name to pollute it. And he was talking about this very time that we're talking about here. Okay? Now, we've seen others who defile the temple. We've also seen others who defile the temple by bringing idols into the temple. In fact, we saw Manasseh's grandfather, King Ahaz, send back plans from Damascus. Remember, he took a trip to Damascus to see the Assyrian king, and while he was there, he saw in Damascus the gods, this god, and he had Urijah. He sent plans back to Urijah the priest to duplicate that god that he saw, and wanted it ready when he got back in town. Well, he got back in town. He met the Assyrian king there in Damascus, got done with the meeting, went back, and there's that god. He had it in the house of the Lord. And then he had the audacity to take the sacrifices and offerings that people were bringing for the Lord and have them offered on the altar of the false god in the temple of the Lord. But we're still not done. Okay, all this stuff is just, you know, compounding one on top of the other. Manasseh also sacrificed his children to Molech. Yeah, he did. There's 2 Kings 21, look at verse number 6. He made his son pass through the fire. That's has to do with the worship of Molech. And we'll deal with the rest of that here in just a minute. But let's just take a look at this. This passage says that he sacrificed his son The other passage over in 2 Chronicles says he sacrificed his children. So his son was one of his children. He just mentioned the son, but he had other children that he would sacrifice to Molech also. And I want you to consider this. If it had not been for his grandmother rescuing his father from his grandfather's same shenanigans, he'd have never been born. Hezekiah was rescued by his mom. His mom rescued him from the arms of going to Molech. But we're still not done here. As we read on, we see that Manasseh was also involved in the occult. And that's something kind of new. We haven't seen that in the things that we've been studying, except for King Saul. King Saul had an encounter with the Witch of Endor. You know, I'll mention that here in a minute. But look at verse number 6 again. It says, he made his son pass through the fire. Notice this. And observed times, and used enchantments, and dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. He wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. Now, I'm getting ahead of myself just a little bit here, but the anger that he provoked in the Lord was so much so that when he does eventually repent, come back to the Lord says, I'm still going to judge Judah. I'm still going to judge the nation. You know, that stuff happens. I can't just let it go. Y'all going to be judged. You're going to be carried away into Babylon because of that, because of the sins of Manasseh and the people that were there under his rule at the time. We'll see that a little bit later. But let's take these one at a time. He observed times. Think about astrology. You know, people even in our day and time, and even Christians, have no qualms about just looking up their horoscope. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. Unless you think there's something to it. Okay? It's based on astrological signs. Astrology. He observed times. He used enchantments. What's that? That means that a charm or whisper is what enchantment is. It's to seek or to give omens or to foretell. You're seeking after somebody to tell you what's going to be on tomorrow. You know? Not a prophet of the Lord either. We're talking about seeking after the wrong kind of people. He used witchcraft. It's a practice of sorcery where they use potions. They whip up a bunch of different things. They use a little bit of snail here, a little bit of rat's tail there, and stir it all together in the pot, and when they're supposed to do something to you, you know, yeah, it would make me sick on the stomach is what it'd make me. I don't know about you, but sorcery, potions. He dealt with a familiar spirit. A familiar spirit is a person controlled by an evil spirit which professes to be a medium with the dead. You want to talk to somebody from the past life? You know, before you were born, you say you want to talk to JFK. You know, well, that's what you see a person with a familiar spirit to try to draw them up. Kind of like what the Witch of Endor did there. He dealt with wizards. Wizards. That's one who deals in magic and sorcery in an attempt to pry into the secrets of the spirit world. Look at Deuteronomy chapter number 18. Deuteronomy 18. To see what the Lord had to say about all this and even more. Deuteronomy 18, and let's begin with verse number 9. And again, this is the Lord giving instructions when they were going to be going into the land. He says in verse 9, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. I think there's a place later in the Old Testament, it says, learn not the way of the heathen. That's basically what they're talking about here. It says in verse 10, there shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire. Remember Molech? You know, they take that fire, they would get him blazing hot and set the baby right there in their arms. That's what it's talking about there. And then, make it a son pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. What's a necromancer? One who inquires of the dead. Notice verse 12. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. It says, for these nations which thou shalt possess hearkened unto observers of times and unto diviners, but as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do. Well, and as I said, the only king that I can remember who was involved in any of this was King Saul, who went to a witch to call up Samuel's spirit. But now we literally go off the charts of the wickedness of those kings before him. Okay, we're not done yet. I mean, enough, right? We think that's enough. Enough's enough. Well, God kind of had his fill too. But we see, look back in our text, 2 Kings 21, look at the latter part of verse number 6 there, where that he wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. Well, let me tell you what it says in 2 Chronicles 33:9. If you got that marked, you can flip over there. And let's read verse number 9. 2 Chronicles 33:9. So Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err. It's kind of like it was forced on them. Okay? And like, you're gonna worship these gods. You're gonna do it. He made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err and to do worse than the heathen. Do worse than the heathen. Now, back in 2 Kings 21, also, let me call your attention to verse number 9. It says in 2 Kings 21:9, but they hearkened not, talking about to the voice of the Lord, and Manasseh seduced them to do more evil than did the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the children of Israel. And the reason I didn't read that a while ago is I didn't see that I had written that in my notes. It didn't get in my original print. Okay, I had to write it in, and I thought I'd catch it, but I didn't. But there's no detail given us about what this has entailed. If details were given, we probably couldn't talk about it. Yeah, kind of like some of the things going on in our nation right now. And some of the stuff, I mean, it's just, you don't want little ears to hear about, do you? It's crazy, some of the stuff. It's getting more wicked, and it's kind of like, if you were living in Manasseh's time, you kind of like, let me just go inside, because I'm afraid what's going to happen on the outside. Mm-hmm. Thus suffice it to say that it was worse than the heathen. It had to be really, really bad. Okay? Manasseh failed to heed the warning of God, according to 2 Chronicles 33:10 that we read there. The Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken. They would not hearken. Now, no surprise there, as everything he did up to this point was anti-God, right? Everything was anti-God. Now that's our Bible study for this evening. This was a good place to cut it off. We talk about all the evil because from what we've seen thus far in Manasseh's reign, even if you haven't read ahead, Can't you feel that trouble is coming on his way? It's kind of like also in our nation, with the things that we see going on, aren't you expecting just the things that we're seeing, like the 116 degree temperatures up in the northwest, and I don't know how hot they got up in the northeast, but they were in the hundreds, okay, for long periods of time. I mean, that jet stream has just been sitting there in the same place. Every time I see the weather, they say, the jet stream's not moving. It's just right there. And it's just causing that heat to just stay right there. They're already talking about possible hurricane. I saw the latest earlier. They were talking about some of our missionaries are kind of going to be in harm's way. We need to pray for them. Pray for the Puerto Rico, the family in Puerto Rico. And then we need to also pray for the ones in St. Lucia. And so that's where it's headed right now. It's not turned into a hurricane yet, but expecting to turn to one probably tomorrow. Okay. So what I'm saying is, man, when your country is not doing right and the leaders of your country are just leading it to not do right, you kind of expect God's going to intervene. And listen, we as believers can get caught up in that. We can. We're not exempt from that. But thank God, the worst they can do is take our life. Amen. We can go. We're on our way to heaven. But the last phrase in 2 Chronicles 33:6, it says, "He wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger." Well, trouble is coming his way. And Lord willing, we're going to take a look next week at that trouble and what it entailed, and then how he repented and the Lord allowed him to go back and reign. And he was out of the kingship for 12 years. He was in prison for 12 years in Babylon. After 12 years, languishing in a prison, he saw the light. And so we'll take a look at that, Lord willing, next week. All right, let's pull out our prayer list. We'll pray for the needs, and we'll be dismissed with this prayer.